For the last year and a half, we have been constantly bombarded by absolutely nothing but bad news. One bad thing after the other. From the pandemic, to the lockdown, to loss of freedoms, to censorship, from a stolen election, to a Biden administration that is absolutely hell-bent on turning America into a socialist nightmare, and everything in between. Things are so bad. Last month, the federal government told us, like as not, UFOs are real. And I don't know if anybody even batted an eye. Talk about people living in a blue funk. We're like Chaka Khan in that famous song, "Tell me something good," for crying out loud. Kevin, isn't there any good news out there at all? Well, yeah. Because when you look to the Lord, absolutely there is. And we're going to start doing that, so that we can get our hearts and minds right with God. We're going to start a series this morning here at Fox River, a series called Good News for Bad Times. And in this series, we're going to look at all kinds of good news that not only helps us deal with the bad news, but gives us victory over it too. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at the best news of all. In spite of all the bad things that are going on in our world right now, the Bible is still true. And to see that, we turn today to Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 6 through 8. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." And let's pray. Lord, we're living in a time when all kinds of things that thought we could trust in, we've found out that we can't trust in. All kinds of things we thought we could count on, we found out we can't count on them. I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, that we can still trust in your word for all things. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. At this point in the book of Isaiah, the northern kingdom of Israel had been judged by God and exiled to Assyria, and the southern kingdom of Judah had been judged by God and exiled to Babylon. That was the bad news. But starting here in chapter 40 is the good news. Judgment was over. The people's sins had been paid for. They were going to go back to the land, and the Lord was coming. And how could those people trust that all that good news was true? Because our text this morning tells us God's word was still true. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we can trust all of God's good news for us too, for exactly the same reason. Our text this morning, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, tells us three reasons why we can know the Bible is still true no matter what. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why the Bible is still true, is because the Bible is still the Word of God. And I realize the left thinks it's only mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, bitter-clinging deplorables who marry their cousins and play the banjo with their toes. Only those people believe the Bible is still the Word of God. But that is exactly what Isaiah is saying here. Notice, who is it that's saying these words? Verse 1, it's God. God says. Not Kevin Garner, or Chance the Rapper, or LeBron James, or Molly of Denali. It's God. So the Bible is not fake news. It's not a debunked conspiracy theory. The Bible is not a Russian disinformation campaign. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is still true because the Bible is still the Word of God. And that's exactly what the Bible says about itself. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God, which literally means it was breathed by the mouth of God and then written down by men as the Holy Spirit moved them to write exactly what the Lord wanted them to write. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And I've heard critics tell me a million times, "Kevin, you can't believe the Bible because it was written by humans." But then, to defend their argument, they quote other humans. No! The Bible was spoken by God, written down by man. And that's why the Bible is the most unique book in the history of the whole wide world. Written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different authors from all walks of life, from kings to slaves. Written in every kind of place you can imagine, from deserts to palaces to fishing boats. 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses, 773,746 words, and every single one of them breathed by the mouth of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And I know somebody's hearing this and saying, Kevin, evolution proves that the Bible isn't true, though. No, it doesn't. The silly idea that there is no God and that a gazillion years ago a random bolt of lightning struck a primordial gob of goo and caused it to evolve into all the living things that we see today. That has never been observed in nature. It can't be duplicated in a laboratory. And it violates all common sense by claiming that something came from nothing. And because of that, evolution doesn't even meet the criteria of a scientific theory, let alone a scientific fact, because there's no evidence whatsoever that evolution ever happened. G.G. Simpson said, who is not a Christian, because of the total lack of evidence for evolution, evolution doesn't even warrant being called a theory, so it should probably be considered mere speculation. Fairy tales say that a frog became a prince. Scientists call that evolution. All kinds of archaeological evidence confirm that the Bible is true and the Bible is the Word of God. Just last year, 2020 alone, archaeologists in Israel found a first century church in Caesarea Philippi, another first century church in Laodicea, a fortress of King David in the Golan Heights, the palace of evil King Manasseh in 2 Kings 21. I could go on and on and on. People, don't let them kid you. John chapter 17, verse 17, God's Word is truth. The Bible is still true because the Bible is still the Word of God. And I realize not everybody believes that. Seth MacFarlane, who created The Simpsons, said this, "The Bible is just a joke book written by a bunch of 4,000-year-old billy goat herders who obviously had nothing better to do than smoke some mesquite and fantasize about angels and demons." Now, how sad. But you know what's even worse? People in the church today who call themselves progressive Christians don't really believe the Bible is the Word of God either. Grace Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee has this nonsense on their website. "We follow the teachings of Jesus, but beware, those teachings are just one way of experiencing the unity and oneness of life. So we need to draw from diverse sources in our spiritual journey." And here it comes. "And we know that because the Bible isn't the Word of God, inerrant or infallible. It's just a product of a community and a human response to God." Folks, you deny the absolute truth and the absolute authority of the Bible. That's heresy. So I don't know what religion it is, but progressive Christianity is not Christianity. I get progressive Christians writing me letters all the time. "Kevin, you can't tell people that LGBT is wrong because you can't let the Bible override the gospel." What? First of all, the gospel does not mean God gives you a free pass to do whatever it is that floats your boat. And secondly, you can't separate the gospel from the Bible because the gospel is a part of the Bible. And Jesus said, John chapter 10, verse 35, Scripture can't be divided, which means you take it all or nothing, baby. Well, Kevin, I love God, but I don't like His Bible. I don't like His Word. Yeah, that's like telling your wife, "Honey, I love you, but I hate it when you talk to me." We'll see how long that flies. And you know why we even have this progressive claptrap in the church today? Because for the last 20 years, lily-livered pastors have been too chicken to stand up and preach the truth that homosexuality is a sin and that there's freedom from it in Jesus Christ, just like there's freedom in all sin from Jesus Christ. Preach the Word from the heart, no compromise, no apologies, because the Bible is the Word of God. And if you reject that, you get that. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly, Genesis 1:27, God created all people either male or female. Double X chromosomes for girls, XY chromosomes for boys. Your gender was determined by God. It's fixed the very nanosecond that you are conceived, and all the hormone treatments and reassignment surgeries can never ever change that. But today, the trans lobby and the trans activists are hell-bent on pushing this lie that people with a real psychological disorder called gender dysphoria really can change their gender. So they're doing everything they possibly can to erase all gender differences and say that boys and girls are exactly the same. And because of that, just this past March the 31st, just this past Monday, the Illinois State Legislature passed House Bill 156, which mandates, get this, all boys' bathrooms in all Illinois public schools will have tampon dispensers. Even though, of course, biological boys don't even have the plumbing to need those things. Folks, this is absolute insanity, and your state legislature did that. Purposely confusing children about their gender is not only abusive, it's evil. And do you know why they did it? I'll tell you why. Just so a very small minority of very messed up adults can feel good about themselves. And when biblical truth is being trashed, what are you and I as Christians supposed to do about it? We do exactly what he did. Tanner Cross is a born-again Christian and a PE teacher at Leesburg Elementary School in Loudoun County, Virginia. And even though all of his students in that school absolutely love him, he is in a school district that's getting more and more woke and progressive. And last month, the Loudoun County School Board voted in two new policies about transgender students. Policy 8040 that says teachers and staff are required to refer to students who identify as transgender by their pronoun that corresponds to their preferred gender rather than their real gender. And policy 8350 that says all transgender identifying students will be allowed to participate in whatever activity corresponds to their preferred gender rather than their real gender. Here's a part of what that policy statement said. All staff shall allow transgender students to use the chosen gender pronouns that reflect their identity without any substantiating evidence. Did you catch that? So now students have the right to determine their own gender and the right to force adults to go along with it without any substantiating evidence that that's their real gender. People, that is absolutely ridiculous, because students do not have the right to determine their own gender, and they do not have the right to force adults to participate in the fraud. And we as Christians are under no obligation whatsoever to indulge those fantasies in any way, shape, or form, because that's exactly what the Bible tells us. So what do we do when the left tries to force us to endorse gender bending contrary to God's Word? Well, listen to me. You don't just take it. You stand up against it. And that's exactly what Tanner Cross did last May the 25th at the last Loudoun County School Board meeting, when he stood up in front of the whole board and said this, knowing it could cost him his job.
My name is Tanner Cross, and I am speaking out of love for those who suffer with gender dysphoria. 60 Minutes this past Sunday interviewed over 30 young people who transitioned, but they felt led astray because lack of pushback or how easy it was to make physical changes to their bodies in just 3 months. They are now detransitioning. It's not my intention to hurt anyone, but there are certain truths that we must face when ready. We condemn school policies like 8040 and 8035 because it will damage children, defile the holy image of God. I love all of my students, but I will never lie to them regardless of the consequences. I'm a teacher, but I serve God first, and I will not affirm that a biological boy can be a girl and vice versa, because it's against my religion, it's lying to a child, it's abuse to a child, and it's sinning against our God.
And of course, right after that speech, right on cue, the school board suspended him and put him on leave. And right now, Tanner Cross is in the process of being fired. He's being barbecued as homophobic and transphobic and a Christian right-wing nut. And there's a possibility, because of that, he may never get another teaching job anywhere else for as long as he lives. So why in the world did Tanner Cross still do that? Why did he stand up and do what he did and say what he said? I'll tell you why. Not only because he loves his students, but also because there is something far more important than your job and your reputation and what other people think about you. And what is that? What did he say in his statement? I am a teacher, but I serve God first. And these policies are sinning against our God. His number one commitment, his number one priority that trumps everything else in his entire life is to God and His Word. Christians, listen to me. Here's the good news. The Word of God is still the Word of God. And the good news is, you are not alone, because there are still millions and millions of Christians all across this country who still believe with all their hearts that the Bible is still true and are willing to take a stand for it no matter what it costs them. The only question is, what about us? The first reason why we know the Bible is still true is because the Bible is still the Word of God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why we know the Bible is still true. Not only because the Bible is still the Word of God, but also because we can still trust it. We know the Bible doesn't lie because the Bible is the Word of God and God doesn't lie. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. So the Bible is not fiction. Like Hunter Biden's book, Beautiful Things. Because I don't trust Hunter Biden any further than I can throw J.B. Pritzker. The Bible is not Wikipedia, where anybody can just go in and change whatever they want to at any time. And we have over 25,000 copies and partial copies of the Scriptures from a text that goes back 3,000-4,000 years that prove not one jot or tittle has the Bible been changed in any way, shape, or form since the very moment God gave it. In fact, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 says, you even think about changing the Bible in any way, shape, or form, there'll be hell to pay. Literally. People, you can trust the Bible. We can trust the Bible because it's inerrant and infallible, which means there are no mistakes in the Bible, and the Bible can't make a mistake about anything it says or reports. And I know there's some people listening to this sermon right now saying, well, Kevin, there's all kinds of mistakes in the Bible. Are you sure? Because for thousands of years, every single word in this Bible has been analyzed 100 trillion times by critics who are just dying to find a mistake in it. Anywhere at all. Years ago, I got a letter saying, Kevin, John chapter 2, verse 13 says, Jesus went up from Capernaum to Jerusalem. But Kevin, on the map, Capernaum is north of Jerusalem. So that verse is wrong because it should have said Jesus went down from Capernaum to Jerusalem. So see, Kevin, there's a mistake in the Bible. See how ridiculous people get? Because see, in Jesus' day, nobody used maps. And everybody walked everywhere they went. So they didn't think in terms of direction. They thought in terms of elevation. And because the city of Jerusalem sits 1,000 feet higher above sea level than the town of Capernaum, Jesus really did go up to Jerusalem and not down. The Bible is true. Doctors say 8 days after a baby is born, the vitamin K prothrombin level in the baby's blood is fully developed. So if the baby gets cut, the blood will clot and the little kid won't bleed out. On what day were Jewish baby boys supposed to be circumcised? What day after birth? According to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3. That would be the 8th day. Gee, how did Moses know about vitamin K levels in the human bloodstream? He didn't. But God did. The Bible is true. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. Says having sex outside of marriage is like pouring burning coals into your lap. And anybody suffering with genital herpes will tell you that's true. Harvard University says married people get fatter than single people. What does Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 say about married people? They increase and they multiply. The Bible is true. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 2 says all liberal people are stupid. Because a wise person turns to the right, a foolish person turns to the left. So leftist people are stupid too. It's in the Bible. The Bible is true. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1 says you shouldn't go jogging because only wicked people run when nobody is chasing them. So jogging is a sin, people. It's in the Bible. The Bible is true. Hall of Fame pitcher Tom Seaver. Died last August the 31st at the age of 75. Tom Seaver pitched for 20 years in the major leagues. 311 wins, 12-time All-Star, 3-time Cy Young Award winner. So good they called him Tom Terrific. But by the time Tom Seaver hit 75 years old, he had dementia so bad. This man, who was one of the best pitchers in the history of Major League Baseball. Tom Terrific, who struck out 3,640 Major League batters during his career, had dementia so bad he couldn't even remember how to use a toilet. That is the glory of man. All men are like grass, and the glory of man like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord endures forever. The Bible is true. You can trust the Bible. And the question is, if you don't trust the Bible, who or what else are you going to trust? You going to trust celebrities like Billie Eilish? Last February, because of the pandemic, she was ordering all of her food online, like a lot of other people did. But because celebrities get so divorced from reality and so separated about things in the real world, she had no idea what food costs. So when she saw online a box of Fruit Loop cereal for $35 a box, she ordered 70 boxes. $35, an outrageous price, in case you don't know. I wouldn't trust Billie Eilish to walk my dog. You trust the leftist media? There was absolutely no evidence whatsoever that George Floyd died because he was black. Because there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that police officer Derek Chauvin was racist. Derek Chauvin was married to an Asian Hmong woman, for heaven's sakes. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, who is black, said himself, race played no role in the death of George Floyd. And yet, when Derek Chauvin was convicted for the death of George Floyd, the mainstream media said it was proof that America is systemically racist. What are they talking about? You trust the World Health Organization? Because last May the 28th, they added the nation of Syria to their governing board. Syria, who's so concerned about people's health, they gassed their own citizens for crying out loud. You trust the vaccines for COVID? One of the biggest reasons a lot of Christians don't want to take those vaccines is because those vaccines use cells from aborted babies. No, 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 the CDC says. This is the official statement that they released. Confusion arises because there is a step in the process of developing the vaccine that uses cells grown in a lab that are descendants of embryonic cells that would have otherwise been destroyed. You talk about doublespeak. Because an embryo is a conceived human being. And embryonic cells means a conceived human being has been destroyed and aborted in order to produce the vaccine. Do you trust the CDC? You trust that guy? The COVID czar, the most trusted man in America, Dr. Anthony Fauci? Because those emails that were released last week through the Freedom of Information Act proved Fauci knew from the very beginning that masks really didn't stop COVID. And that only sick people should be wearing them, if anybody. And yet, in spite of that, Dr. Fauci still helped turn 330 million Americans into lab rats in order to get Joe Biden in the White House. And believe it or not, this coming November, Dr. Fauci has a book coming out called Expect the Unexpected, 10 Lessons on Truth, Service, and Moving Forward. Gag me with a wooden spoon! But what does the Bible say? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 21. Beware of those who are wise in their own eyes. People, you don't trust him and his book. You trust him and his book right here. You trust God and you trust his word. And folks, we can trust God and his word to take care of the biggest cover-up in the history of the whole wide world that he was involved in. When the pandemic first started in the United States, President Donald Trump referred to the coronavirus as the China virus because all the reports that he got from U.S. intelligence said that virus came from the Institute of Virology Lab in Wuhan, China. But because it was President Trump saying it, oh my goodness, that's just a debunked conspiracy theory and xenophobic. And everybody who agreed with President Trump was a racist and got censored on Facebook. And even though the Chinese Communist Party wants to take over the world, and even though they purposely allowed infected Chinese citizens to travel all over the world and infect the entire planet, and even though they tried to silence all doctors and journalists from that lab who tried to report that that virus did come from that lab, the World Health Organization, the CDC, the American Medical Association, the National Institute of Health, the American left, the mainstream media, all sucked up to China and said, no, no. That virus really came from a Chinese meat market. Somebody eating a bat. So nothing to eat, nothing to see there. And folks, the person who pursed that mantra the most was Dr. Anthony Fauci. Because over and over again, in all kinds of testimonies before Congress, he swore up and down there is no way that virus could have come from that Wuhan lab. Because that lab was not doing gain-of-function research, he said. Weaponizing SARS viruses to make them more deadly to human beings. And his organization, the National Institute of Health, was not funding that kind of research there. And he personally had always been against that kind of research during his entire career. And he had no knowledge that any viruses had ever leaked out of that lab. So again, COVID had to have come from the bat cave, he said. But what does the Bible say? Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Your sin will find you out. Because just this past May the 26th, during a Senate hearing, Dr. Fauci finally had to admit that lab in Wuhan was doing that kind of research. And the National Institute of Health was funding it through a third party. And through all those emails that were released last week, we found out Dr. Fauci knew. He knew that six viruses had escaped from that lab just since 2003. And that Dr. Fauci had been supporting that kind of research his entire career. And what's even worse, those emails show Dr. Fauci knew as early as January of 2020, that virus had been engineered in that lab and then been released. Because ever since that virus started in Wuhan in 2019, in 18 months, in a year and a half, not one single bat, not one single animal anywhere in China has ever been found carrying the coronavirus. What does that tell you? And folks, what's even more insidious, a March 2020 email between Fauci and Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, showed that Dr. Fauci was collaborating with social media to get social media to censor any COVID information Dr. Fauci did not want the American people to know. You talk about rotten to the core. Fauci lied, people died. Dr. Fauci is a liar, and he ought to be arrested and go to prison, not only for lying to Congress, but also for participating in the cover-up of one of the worst pandemics in the history of the world. And the CDC, and the WHO, and the NIH, and the AMA, and the American left, the mainstream media, I could go on and on. And why would those people run cover for communist China? I'll tell you, because Dr. Fauci, like all leftists, knows that China right now is really at war with the United States. And they're betting on China to win. And the biggest person who was standing in the way was President Donald Trump. And what better way to get rid of him than to use this virus to cause a mass panic, destroy the country, ruin the economy, prolong the lockdown by keeping the schools closed so parents couldn't go back to work, and using corrupt mail-in ballot to guarantee he didn't win re-election. And taking America one more giant step down the road toward socialism and globalism. And if you think I'm crazy, back in 2017, during an obscure, random interview out of the clear blue sky, Dr. Fauci said this: "There is no doubt Donald J. Trump will be confronted with a surprise infectious disease outbreak during his presidency." What in the world did that man know that we didn't? Kevin, are you saying that virus was engineered and then purposely released from that lab and Dr. Fauci had a part of it? You tell me. Now, the good news is the wheels are off the Fauci train. He's been exposed for the liar that he really is. Barnes & Noble and Amazon have scrubbed his book deal. And the good news is, even if the president administration never prosecutes him for his crimes, God will. Because for anybody who is a part of the worst political scandal in the history of the world and the deadliest cover-up in the history of the world, Judgment Day is coming. The good news is, what Dr. Fauci's case shows us, I don't care how evil, I don't care how despicable, I don't care how black-hearted, I don't care how devious or secretive somebody in their actions may be, we can trust the promise from God's Word, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, there is nothing, absolutely nothing hidden that will not be made known. And if not in this lifetime, then certainly in the next. The second reason why we know the Bible is still true is because we can still trust it. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why we can still trust the Bible. Not only because the Bible is still the Word of God, not only because we can still trust it, but third, because we can depend on it. And that's exactly what Isaiah is telling us to do here. But Christians, we will never depend on the Word of God until we first of all read it and know what it says. And the question is, what's stopping us from doing that? Because it only takes about 70 hours to read the whole Bible. 35 of the Bible's books you can read in 45 minutes. 21 more of these books you can read in 20 minutes. Same time it takes you to watch an episode of Young Sheldon. 12 minutes a day. You can read the whole Bible in a year. 9 chapters a day, you can read through the New Testament every month. Chicago Bears safety Eddie Jackson reads through the entire Bible every month. Over 2 hours of reading a day. That's dependent on God's Word. And the sad fact is, if the powers that be in America had depended on God's Word, they could have prevented the worst man-made disaster in the history of the world. And I'm talking about the pandemic and the lockdown. Because even though the Bible never specifically mentions coronavirus, 3,500 years ago, in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, God gave the Israelites in the wilderness all kinds of guidelines for dealing with infectious diseases and pandemics. First of all, Leviticus chapter 15, verse 2, the experts, the priests, was to tell the people the truth about it. So no Jewish Dr. Fauci's lying about the numbers to scare the hell out of people. And no Jewish Mark Zuckerberg's censoring people's questions about it on Facebook. Then, Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, all the people were supposed to examine themselves to see if they were really sick and have the priests examine themselves to see if they were really sick. And then get this, all the people who were found to be infected and sick were quarantined outside the camp, while all the healthy people who weren't sick were allowed to stay in the camp and go on with life and business as usual. Yes. Going to work, gathering the manna, worshiping at the tabernacle without wearing any face diapers or doing any socialist distancing at all. In other words, they didn't lock down the whole nation. They only isolated the sick people. And what did that do? It stopped the spread of the disease. It protected the elderly and the people who were most likely to die from it. The hospitals weren't overrun. Natural immunity was built up. The economy wasn't tanked. Lives were saved. It was all good. But sadly enough, all the experts in America did exactly the opposite when it came to COVID. Because they knew 1 month into this pandemic that COVID really only hurt the very old and the very sick. 67% of all COVID deaths are people over 70. 95% of all COVID deaths are people over 50. 99.2% of all COVID deaths were people with other underlying medical problems. I could go on and on. But instead of protecting those people, in turn of isolating those people, they turned the entire United States into an isolation war. Schools and business and churches were all closed. Daily life came to a halt. People masked up like Kemosabe. People sheltering in place in their homes. Even though 75% of all COVID infections came from family members infecting other family members as they huddled in their houses because that is exactly what the experts told them to do. What in the world were they thinking? Because there is not one shred of evidence that lockdowns ever stopped the spread of COVID. In fact, the evidence points the lockdowns made it worse. And what was the result of all the experts botching it? The elderly and sick weren't protected. Nursing homes became death traps. Old people dropped like flies. Hospitals were overrun. Herd immunity was delayed. Rights and freedoms were trashed. The national economy was destroyed. And worst of all, hundreds of thousands of people died who should have never died. The experts in America took a pandemic and turned it into a catastrophe. The worst mistake the United States of America ever made. And you know why that happened? Because all those dusty, boring, Old Testament purity laws that nobody ever reads and that everybody ignores are in the Bible for a reason, aren't they? Psalm chapter 19, verse 11. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. People, is there a blessing that comes from depending on the Word of God or what? And Christians, listen to me. We better be dependent on that Word, because right now the left in this country is absolutely hell-bent on canceling God, the Word, the family, every single thing that's holy. Last February the 21st, during a vote on the floor of the U.S. House over the Equality Act, a representative named Greg Stube said this, "The gender confusion that exists in our nation today is a clear rejection of God's good design. And whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against Him and will inevitably bear the consequences." Amen. But then leftist representative Jerry Nadler said this, who was the chair, "What any religious tradition describes as God's will is of no concern to this Congress. I know. That's exactly the problem. That's the biggest problem with America today. The left couldn't care less what God says about anything, especially when it comes to kids. Now that Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head have been gender neutered, Hasbro is now selling sets called Create Your Own Potato Head Family. And what's the message to kids? You don't need a Mr. and a Mrs. to have a family. Family isn't what God says it is in His Word. Family is whatever you say it is. Family is whatever you think it is or whatever you want it to be. See what that leads to? This June, to help celebrate Gay Pride Month, Kellogg's has come out with a special edition, Together with Pride, LGBT rainbow cereal. With everybody from Tony the Tiger to Toucan Sam lying to your kids and telling them being gay and trans is all the berries. People, you don't think the left is coming after your kids? But here's the good news. Don't have a cow about all the atheists, all the activists, or all the arrogant blowhards. Because everything they try to do to cancel God and His Word is all going to come to nothing. Everything they do and say is just temporary dust in the wind. The Bible cannot be canceled like Dr. Seuss. No matter what they try, the Word of our Lord endures forever. People, listen to me. The Bible is an anvil that wears out a million hammers. And history proves that over and over and over again. 303 A.D., Roman Emperor Diocletian issued a decree to destroy Christianity and all Bibles in the Roman Empire. But then just 25 years later, the next emperor, Constantine, declared Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire and ordered scholars to produce more Bibles than ever before. The Word of the Lord endures forever. 1776, French philosopher, atheist Jean Voltaire said 100 years after his death, Christianity would disappear and the Bible would be a forgotten book. But then, exactly 100 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society bought Voltaire's house and was using Voltaire's own printing press to print and ship thousands and thousands and thousands of Bibles all over the world. During the Cultural Revolution in China, 1940s and 1950s, Chairman Mao tried to destroy Christianity in China by killing millions of Christians and burning millions of Bibles. Communist dictator. But today, even though China is still communist, China is the fastest growing Christian country in the history of the world, printing more Bibles than any other country in the history of the world. The Word of the Lord endures forever. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, heaven and earth may pass away, His Word will never pass away. And God has this incredible way of reminding us of that over and over again. Back in 1947, some sheep herders in the Judean desert, 12 miles south of Jerusalem, made one of the greatest archaeological discoveries in the history of mankind, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Dozens and dozens of copies of every book of the Old Testament except the book of Esther, put there by Jews who escaped when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. So those scrolls had been there for almost 1900 years. Now before 1947, the oldest copy of the Old Testament in the world only went back to 100 A.D. So the Dead Sea Scrolls were almost 1,000 years older. But when scholars compared the text, virtually no difference whatsoever, proving how accurately God's people had copied the Scriptures generation after generation. People, you can trust your Bible. But you know what really blows you away is how the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls corresponded to the appearance of blood moons. Blood moons that appear during total lunar eclipses when the moon turns a reddish color from passing through the shadow of the sun shining on the earth. And the absolutely amazing thing is how many incredible things have happened in the history of Israel during blood moons. Now, sometimes the blood moons come in tetrads, which means four consecutive blood moons in a row over a period of time. Like 1492, when all the Jews were kicked out of Spain. Or 1967, when the Jewish people finally regained control of the city of Jerusalem after the Six-Day War. 2015, when Barack Obama signed a treaty that gave Iran the ability to start nuking up for a future attack on Israel. And the Bible also tells us that blood moons are going to be signs that the world is coming to an end and that Jesus Christ is coming again. Luke chapter 21, verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And you will see the Lord coming with great power and glory. Joel chapter 2, verse 31, the moon will turn to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, the sixth seal, the moon will turn to blood as a sign that Jesus Christ is coming again. So what happened right around the same time that the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, 1947? Well, guess what? Right before that, June 19th, 1946, there was a blood moon. Then 1948, there was another blood moon during a huge fulfillment of an end times Bible prophecy, an event that Christians have been waiting for thousands and thousands of years. May 17th, 1948, when Israel became a nation again. And then that same year, just a little bit later on, October 18th, 1948, there was another blood moon. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And what's that have to do with us today? Well, what do you know? Just last March the 9th, 2021, God in His sovereignty allowed archaeologists in Israel to find even more Dead Sea Scrolls in those same caves in that same Judean desert, the first Dead Sea Scrolls that have been discovered in over 60 years. 80 fragments from the books of Zechariah and Nahum. And then what happened after that, right on cue? This past Wednesday, May the 26th, a super blood moon. Super because the moon was closest to the earth that it could possibly be. So it appeared 14% bigger and 31% brighter than normal. A rare astronomical event, astronomers said. Gee, do you think God's trying to get our attention? Because just this coming November 18th and 19th, there's going to be another super blood moon. And then after that, another partial lunar eclipse. Then May 2022, another total lunar eclipse. Then November 2022, another partial lunar eclipse. I could go on and on. All that on top of all the other signs we've seen in the heavens lately. Blood moons in 2011 and 12. A tetrad of blood moons in 2014 and 15. A super blood moon in 2018. A super blood moon in June of 2019. More signs in the sky than the 4th of July. The Max Planck Institute says the last 10 or 12 years have seen more eclipses, more lunar eclipses, more solar eclipses, more partial eclipses, more blood moons than any other 10 to 12 year period in the history of the world. Signs in the sun, moon, and stars, Bible prophecy being fulfilled right in front of our very eyes. Do you think God is trying to tell us something in His Word and in the sky? Blood moons occurring around the time of the first discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls led to the fulfillment of a huge end times Bible prophecy that Christians have been waiting for 2,000 years. So the question is, are all the blood moons happening now around the second discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls going to lead to the fulfillment of the next huge end times Bible prophecy that Christians have been waiting for almost 2,000 years? Like the rapture of the church? Kevin, are you? I'm not saying. I'm just saying. But if I was you, I'd be looking up. Folks, the good news is, in spite of all the bad things that are happening in our world right now, the Bible is still true. And all the promises for you and me in that Bible are still true. And all the plans that God has for the end times, for the world and for you and me to take us out of here and to take us home are still in effect. Because 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, not one good thing that God has ever promised to His people will ever fail to come to pass. Not one. And after Jesus comes again and it's all said and done, there's only going to be three things that are going to last for eternity. Only three things that will endure forever. God, His Word, and you. And you will stand before His throne on Judgment Day, and you will be judged by this book. And the only thing that's going to matter, did you know Him through this book? Because everything that is written in this book has been written to prepare you for that moment. Do you know Him, people? Are you saved? Are you trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay the price for your sin and to save your soul? Because if that really is the only thing that really matters, and it is, then you need to be sure. Which means you better take care of business and get right with God and don't let anything in this world distract you, because let me tell you, everything else in this world, everything that we love and that we care about and that we work hard at, everything that we lose sleep over, one of these days is going to be gone. Here today, gone tomorrow. It's going
to
be gone. And the good news is, this book that not only judges you, can also save you. Because the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The good news is, the good news is true. The only question is, do you believe it? And let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much in a world where there is absolutely nothing but shifting and lying and uncertainty and schemes, Lord, that we can trust in your word. We can stand on your word for time and eternity. And I just pray for anybody listening to this sermon right now, anybody in this room who does not know you as Savior and Lord, they have never confessed their sins, put their faith in the blood you shed on the cross to take those sins away and receive you into their heart as their Savior. Pray that they would do that today. Just thank you, Lord, we can look at this world that's an absolute mess, spinning out of control, and we can be confident. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry, because the enemies we see today will be gone tomorrow. We're going to be in heaven with you forever. I just ask, Lord, that you would just give us that confidence. Your word is good news, and it is true. And Lord, use that to see us through. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.